Good morning, everyone. It is an honor and a privilege to be here in front of y'all to give this lesson this morning. I've got new glasses on, so I may be adjusting. It turns out I'm actually near-sighted. I can't see there, and I can't see there, but I can see about here. So work with me here. So this morning, the lesson that I've come up with is called Spiritual Famine. So on the Wednesday night classes, we've been studying for this last quarter on how to study the Bible. This is so important because it's not just reading the Bible, it's actually getting into the Word and studying the Bible. We had a young gentleman from Northern Oaks, Michael Wislowski, who came and gave an excellent lesson a couple of Wednesdays ago, and he's actually got a outline of a lesson plan that he'd put together that is available, and I highly recommend, if you weren't in that class, to inquire about it. I think Tamia's got some copies of it. She can get it out for you. But it really breaks down on how to study the Bible and what we're looking at, how to distinguish what the books are and what the point of those books are. And we also talked about the lesson of the Lazarus and the rich man. If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, 19 through 21 is what we're going to be reading here. So I'm going to go ahead and read this real quick. And if you're not familiar with this story or with this what Christ was telling us here, we'll just kind of review it real quick. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. So we actually studied this maybe a month, 2 months ago. And looked at, is this a parable? Is this an actual story? But the more that we were looking at some of the lessons and looking at being spiritually fed, I kept coming back to this. And the thought that I want to bring to today is, how often are we spiritually seeing people who are Lazarus, like Lazarus, who are starving for that spiritual word, who are starving? And here we have all the splendor, we have all these riches, we have all these spiritual gifts that we're not able or willing to share with them. How often are we that Lazarus? How often are we actually starving ourselves of the spiritual food and don't even realize it? And so that's kind of what I want to talk about today. So one of the first things that we see when we talk about Lazarus, going back to verse 20, and a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. So obviously, Lazarus definitely stuck out, right? You're not going to walk up and say, I think that guy's probably had a dinner today. He's probably been well fed today. He absolutely stood out as somebody who was starving. How do we know that? First off, he was laid at the gate. There's a weakness there. If you don't eat, your body gets weak. He was covered with sores. If you don't eat, your body will start breaking down. You'll start developing sores. And this is very evident in this man here, in Lazarus. So can we recognize the same in the spiritual famine and people around us? So really what we're talking about with spiritual famine is we're talking about the difference between flesh and spirit. Now, we could have Lazarus, who was very well taken care of in the flesh manner, right? He was well clothed. He had splendor. He was eating, I'm sure, probably large feast. He was well taken care of physically, but spiritually, we know that he was starved. Because we know that because of where this story ends up. We go to verse 22. Now, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out to the father, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am agony in this flame. So now we are able to see where Lazarus was spiritually. where the rich man was spiritually, and where Lazarus was spiritually as well. Obviously, Lazarus was a wealthy man spiritually, was well fed, was well taken care of, where the rich man was spiritually starved. So are we able to recognize those same symptoms in the people around us? Are we able to recognize those symptoms in ourselves? So Galatians, go ahead and turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19. So first off, if we want to recognize the deeds of the flesh, this is going to give us a good list of them here. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have a pretty good list here of what spiritual famine looks like. These are the things that will come from being spiritually famished. You can summarize these going back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, where it says that all of these come from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. All of these are tied back to that. And it's a summarization of exactly what spiritual starvation looks like. So if we look at it on the other side, if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. And when we look at the book of Galatians, we have to think about who this was written to. These were written to new Christians who were working to do the things that they had been taught. But yet we had people that were coming in trying to take them back to the old law. And so the old law was the law of Moses. And we had a great discussion this morning about what that law was, going back to the Sermon on the Mount. But the law was established to give us a physical representation of the spiritual kingdom that was coming. And so they had people that were coming in trying to put the old restraints of the physical law onto this new spiritual law that they were dealing with. And so Paul is actually giving them a list of how to find out if somebody is spiritually famished, right? And so he gives them this description. So we can kind of turn it around where we continue at Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And it continues on down to verse 22. If we want to see what the Spirit, what it looks like when we are being fed by the Spirit, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So it kind of gives us this comparison of somebody who is spiritually famished versus somebody who is spiritually fed. If we go back to verse 16, we see that Paul is telling them, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So this is kind of giving us an example of exactly what we're talking about here. If somebody is spiritually famished versus those who are spiritually well fed. So can we recognize somebody who's led by the Spirit? Absolutely. We discussed Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, and in the beginning of the chapter 7, he even says, when he's warning them about the false teachers, that you will know them by their fruits. So we now have evidence that we can absolutely see if somebody is spiritually famished. And same thing with ourselves. This is something that we have to look at ourselves. Are we finding ourselves with outbursts of anger? Are we finding ourselves jealous? Are we finding ourselves in strife? Are we finding ourselves in enmity? This kind of gives us an idea of how well we are being fed spiritually. But then we look at verse 22, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. I love how this builds on it, because this kind of gives us an outline of exactly how that spiritual being well-fed is built. We have to start with love. And when we have love, love leads to joy. Joy is one of those things that is very hard to comprehend if you are not a Christian. Joy is a word that gets easily confused with happiness. Happiness comes from happenstance. Something good happened, so that I am happy. But joy is not like that. Joy is something that is indwelling even when bad things are happening. So where does that joy come from? It comes from knowing that that we are doing what God has asked us and that he will take care of us. That joy leads to peace. Not necessarily a peace that that people are looking for in a worldly manner, but the peace between us and God. Because if we are sinners, then we are God's enemy. Peace leads to patience. When you have that peace with God, I think finding a patience with yourself, with others around you, it's a natural progression, being able to tolerate and find patience with those around you and with yourself. Patience leads to kindness. Kindness leads to goodness. Goodness leads to faithfulness. Faithfulness is trusting in those things that we cannot see but have been promised. And then faithfulness leads to gentleness. Gentleness leads to self-control. So we kind of have a progression of exactly how being spiritually fed leads to self-control and being able to overcome the things of this world. Albert did a great job of kind of pinpointing some of the things that building our house on a solid rock, building our house on a foundation, that spiritual house that we are building, something that can actually withstand the storms of life. And so now we kind of have an idea of what we're looking for, right? We're looking to see where Lazarus stuck out as a weak man, somebody who had sores on his body. You could tell that he was physically starved. Now we kind of have some descriptions of what somebody looks like when they're spiritually starved. So why do we need to be spiritually healthy? Because we have to be able to feed others, right? The Great Commission is to go and preach the word. We have to make sure that we are prepared to make that journey. It's just like any physical job, any tour that you're going to do, you have to be physically fed before you can even start making that journey, right? So let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, and if you kind of compare that back to Galatians 5, where he was talking about the fruit of the flesh, all those things right there, if we put those things aside, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So we have to start with the milk of the word. You know, I come from the generation when they said milk does a body good. Now there's dispute on whether milk is actually good for you or not, but obviously when we look at babies, they start with milk. When milk is what we need to help build our skeleton, that's what gives us the strength underneath our muscles to actually withstand what we have to do. Without a strong skeleton, you can't support the muscles that are going to be laid on top of that. But at the same time, we cannot grow. You're only going to grow so far on the milk. I look at my daughter and my kids, none of them wanted to go from milk to food, but to get to a point where they're actually going to grow and they can actually sustain the physical activity that they want to do, they had to get to a point where they had to eat solid food. And that's the same for us spiritually. We have to get to a point where we realize that we're only going to grow so far with the milk that we need the meat of the word to actually be able to put that muscle on. So we've had the milk of the word to help strengthen that skeleton, to build that skeleton, but to actually get the muscle that we need to do the things that we need to do spiritually, we have to eat the meat of the word. So we need a well-balanced meal. We need the meat. We need the fruit. But like Albert was mentioning this morning, you get hungry. And if there's anybody in here who's satisfied with only eating once a week, if there's anybody who's only satisfied with eating twice a week, we only ate Sunday morning and Sunday night. If there was somebody who was satisfied with just eating Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I don't think there's anybody in here who could sustain a lifelong journey and only eating three times a week. And it's the same for us spiritually. We can't just eat on Sunday mornings. We can't just eat on Sunday nights. We can't just eat on Wednesday nights. We have to make sure that we are feeding ourselves. It's just like being in the wilderness. I would not count on somebody else to feed me. Eventually, I have to go and find my own food. And it's the same thing that we have to do spiritually. We have to look for that food. We have to feed ourselves. So do we use God's word to seek a path? Do we use God's word to feed us? Every day, if you are not having thoughts about how would God want me to respond to this? I love some of the discussions that I've had with different brothers. You know, if you're not having discussions, spiritual discussions with brethren, if you're not having spiritual discussions with your family, are you truly feeding on the word every single day? We have to look for that meat. We have to make sure that we are looking for that food so that we can feed our spirits. I love the concept of a spiritual beef jerky. You know, maybe you read a verse in the Bible that sticks with you all week long, and you're like, you come back to it like a good piece of beef jerky. You can kind of chew on that all week long. And you come back to that scripture, and you're like, is this how it goes? And, and you can apply it to your life. If you're not doing this, you may not be feeding yourself as much as you spiritually need to be fed. And it's up to us to make sure that we are being spiritually fed. If you're missing Wednesday nights, you're missing some great steak dinners with all the fixings. We've had some wonderful lessons. On the last Wednesday of every month, we have a devotional. It is an opportunity to sing songs, to say prayers, and then one of the gentlemen who does not typically give a lesson has the opportunity to give a devotional. We have had some great, great feast with some of those devotionals. Brother Orion gave an excellent lesson last Wednesday on feeding the spirit or feeding the flesh and kind of where we taking priority in those things. So we have to make sure that we are feeding ourselves. So, and making sure that we are fed, why do we need to be why do we need to be spiritually fed? Going back to the Great Commission, we are going to go out and to teach others, to spread the word. We need that strength to be able to do that work, but we also need that spiritual food to be able to give to somebody else, right? It's almost like showing up to work with a lunchbox and somebody says, hey, can I get some food from you? And you open it up and all you got is a package of crackers, one cracker for you, one cracker for me. Nobody's actually being fed. That's why we need to make sure that we have that spiritual, that we are actually studying the word and feasting on the word so that we can actually have something to share with those that we're trying to reach out to. If we only have milk, our milk can be easily contaminated by somebody else's words that sound right. I think this is a very common theme in America today. There are lots of people who claim to be Christians, claim to love God, and speak some great words that sound very enthusiastic, sound very right. But we have to make sure that if we only have milk, our milk can easily be contaminated by these words that sound good, but aren't actually hold any meat to them. We have recently started a new co-op. Our kids are homeschooled, so we try to meet with other families to go over some of the school items and just some of the discussions that they have. Once again, these are people who are Christ-minded, but aren't necessarily Christians. And we have discussions with them and just some of the things that they mention. One of the conversations that we had, somebody asked, where do you go to church? Where's your church? This is an opportunity. This is somebody who is telling me that I am spiritually malnourished, that I do not have the spiritual food that I need. When somebody uses a simple phrase like that, the idea that somebody even mentions it, first off, lets me know that they are begging for spiritual food. It is up to us to make sure that we have that spiritual food to give them as well, to be able to share that food with them. You know, when we use the word church, are we making sure that we let them know that the church is not a building, and the church is not an event that we go to? The church is the bride of Christ, that we are members of the church. And so it's an easy opportunity to say, on Sundays I actually go worship with a congregation at Southeast Church of Christ. It's an opportunity to share that food with them. It's an opportunity to help somebody that is obviously saying, I am starving here. They haven't rightly divided the word. And so we have that opportunity to find these people. You know, I also think about opportunities that we have each and every day. But I kind of want to, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. So we want to make sure that our words are righteous and not influenced by the world. Another word for starving is malnourished. So it is 100% possible that I could feed my kids nothing but junk food and they would sustain. But eventually you will start to see signs of malnourishment. If we give them the right foods, they are able to grow the way that they're supposed to. But malnourishment is very recognizable when they get older and when they start to mature. And the same thing is with the spiritual food that we are taking in. If we are being malnourished, we may be taking food in. We think we're taking spiritual food in, but we're malnourishing our spirits. So we have to make sure that we are taking food that is the real meat of the word and the real fruit of the word. And it's our words play a lot into what we are thinking. You know, when you talk to boxers, they say follow the head. The head will lead the body. Wherever the head goes, the body's fixing to follow. And it's the same with us. Wherever our mind is, our tongue will follow. Our words will follow what our mind is. My children do this all the time, where you can see the thought process going in their head, or maybe they're looking at the cookies on top of the refrigerator, and they slip the word cookie into a conversation, and you're like, are you wanting cookies? The same thing is with us. It is amazing. You will be studying a Bible verse using that spiritual beef jerky, and a situation will come up, and you can relate it back to that spiritual nugget that you've been chewing on all week long because it's fresh in your mind. And that's the beautiful thing, is that when you study that word, you have that answer when those situations come up. So we have to make sure that we're not being contaminated by other words. Make sure that our words are righteous and not influenced by the world. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's a very powerful statement. And we have to be cautious of that, that our words can mean the difference between death and life spiritually. And as I mentioned before, when people use the word, are you going to church? There's a building down the road from us that has a big sign that says, I love my church. That is such an arrogant thing to say, that maybe it is your church, but where I worship, I'm a member of Christ's church. This is an opportunity. Somebody is telling us, I am spiritually starving. This is an opportunity for us to be able to feed them and feed them with that word. Um, So I want to turn over to Proverbs, if you will with me, Proverbs chapter 11. Chapter 11, starting at verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. So once again, this is why it is so important that we are feasting on the word, that we have those words, that we have that spiritual food. Because if we don't, when we talk and give advice without thinking godly, we can destroy our neighbors. But through knowledge, we can deliver ourselves and deliver others who are starving. Those who ask questions, what makes us different? This is somebody who says, I am spiritually starving. Those who are evangelizing, do you avoid when you see a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness coming and knocking on your door? Do you hide behind the door and say, don't answer the door? Or do you take that opportunity to find somebody that is spiritually starving to help share that food with them? I recently had a discussion with a group of Mormons. And I tell you what, these people knew the Bible. They knew the verses. And we had an excellent discussion, and it would not have been possible for me to have that discussion if I did not know the verses as well. They were very quick to pull scripture, to point out references in the Bible. And if I did not have the same references in the Bible and be able to expand on the verses that they were using, our discussion would have been completely one-sided. And to me, these are people who are spiritually starving, and they are looking for the word, and they are hungry for the word. It is, in my line of work, when we are hiring somebody new, I would rather hire somebody who is eager to do the work than somebody who has the knowledge. If you have the knowledge and you're not eager to do the work, there's not a whole lot you can do for them. You can teach knowledge, but you can't teach eagerness, right? They have to have that desire. And so when I see people in the Walmart parking lot handing out flyers, when I see people standing on the road, these are people who are eager. These are people who are starving and looking for that spiritual food. And it's our opportunity to help feed them. When we go back to the story of Lazarus and the rich man, it is very easy to say, how could the rich man not give him a crumb? He couldn't even give him a crumb. How is it for us to have the word, to have what God has given us spiritually, and not share when we see somebody starving for it? How is it for us to not even give a crumb, not to even stop and talk to them and give them that opportunity to gain something from us, to be able to share something from the Bible? I talked to so many people who, with those flyers, don't know scripture. They will tell you, my preacher said this, or I think this, I feel this. When you have the word with you, you can say, well, that's great that you feel this, but let me show you what God actually tells us to do. That's that spiritual food that we have the opportunity to share. And that's why it's so important that we rightly divide the word of God. Paul told Timothy to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. And we're called to do the same. But we have to remember how powerful the word of God is. Now, if you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is a living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's very important that when we are sharing spiritual food, that we are cognizant of how powerful this word is. And that when we are sharing it, we're doing it out of that love. And when we are sharing it, we're doing it out of joy, sharing that joy that we have. That when we're sharing it, we're sharing our peace, letting them know that we have found peace between us and God. And when we are doing it, we're doing it with patience. Because otherwise, something this powerful can absolutely cut somebody down. And we have to be very cognizant of that and be aware of how we are using the word when we are talking to somebody and sharing that spiritual food. And I love the chapter 4 of Hebrews. I kind of want to jump back over here to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, and any one of you may seem to have come short of it, for indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not unified by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed entered the rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We're wrapping up the third quarter where we've been discussing the minor prophets. And this is exactly what we have been talking about, where the minor prophets went and told people, told the Israelites, the Jews, the Edomites, the people in Nineveh, giving them that word, but there was not that faith. And the words that they told them came true. So we have to make sure that we are being spiritually fed as well, that we are taking that word in and that we are uniting it with the faith, because the words that he is speaking here is telling us why we need to be spiritually healthy. The main reason that we need to be spiritually healthy is because there is a day of judgment coming. Every prophecy that is in this book has been fulfilled. Every prophecy in this book has been fulfilled. Every prophecy that is in here, save one. And that's the prophecy that God will come and judge the earth, and that there will be those that go to heaven and those that go to hell. The ones that are going to go to heaven is the church, the bride of Christ. Those who are judged and found outside of that body have eternal damnation. That's why we need to be spiritually fed. That's why we need to be so willing and so free to give out that spiritual food when we see somebody starving. Because if every prophecy in this book has been fulfilled save one, what makes you think that that last prophecy won't be fulfilled? That's why we need to be able to find that food, to find that spiritual food, so that we are strengthened, so that we are within that number, that we are going to be with Christ and with God for eternity and not spend eternity in damnation. So, if you are not within that body of Christ, there are a couple of steps to get to being in that body. First, we have to hear the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is that final prophecy is still pending. But there is a solution and there's a way to not be eternally damned and to find that judgment there against us, to be saved through the by being in the body of Christ. Once you've heard it, do you believe it? Like I said, every prophecy in this book has been fulfilled. We have to believe that it is imperative that you believe it to be able to step forward into it. Once we move forward, we must repent. Repent means to actually turn away. We're turning away from the flesh and turning towards the spirit. We have to make that change. And then we must confess that Jesus is the Lord and King. Then we must be baptized. Baptized is not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. We must continue to grow. We must start on the milk, but continue to spiritually grow on that spiritual meat. So if there's anybody here today who has not made those steps, nobody is promised tomorrow. We don't know when that day of judgment is coming. It could be this afternoon. It could be 1,000 years from now. But are you willing to risk your eternal soul for that? We have water. We have the opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. And if there's anybody here today that is spiritually famished, anybody here that feels like they've been on milk and they have not had the meat of the word, have not had the opportunity to grow, we have brothers and sisters here who can pray for you. We have an excellent opportunity, and I invite you to please come and join us on Wednesday nights. Join us on Sunday nights. Join us on the Bible classes. Join us on this gospel meeting that we have coming up this Friday. Invite people. There are people out there who are starving for that word, and we have that opportunity to share it with them. You know, will you not give them a crumb? Just to invite them this Friday to come to this gospel meeting and to share in that word, we have an awesome opportunity. And if there's anybody who needs help today and is looking to become a member of that body of Christ, now is an excellent opportunity as we stand and sing our song of invitation.